Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Great big amen. You have to do better than that. A great big amen. You know, recently I've been thinking about life. You know, at my age, you start thinking about life a lot. And you start thinking about the years. You know, I've been preaching the gospel for 45 years. And most of you in this room aren't even 45 years old, or I've been preaching the gospel since before you were ever born. And I've learned some things, not only from the scripture, which is phenomenal, but I've learned some things that identify and make the scripture become more alive as you've lived out life. You know, knowing something from the word is one thing, but experiencing it from the word, it takes you to a new dimension of understanding. And people who experience things know so much more. That's why I really believe that Jesus came. He had created man. He understood pain. He understood what men go through. But until he experienced it, he didn't know what it was like to be a human on this planet. So he comes. And by the way, I'm not speaking out of turn. That's Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And so you'll find yourself seeing these things that you and I are experiencing. Well, over my lifetime, I've experienced a lot of things. One of the things that I've seen is how come, and this is a question I always ask myself for years and years, I'm talking about decades, how come God, that you will protect one type of person or one person, but not protect another person that call themselves a Christian? What is that all about? And I know protection from God is preached from the very first day you enter into a church. You find out that God is your great protector. And then the longer you hang around the church, the more you see things where people are really not being protected at all. Their marriages fail like just the people in the world. We see their jobs failing, their children growing up not serving God. There's no protection whatsoever, except for a very few people. Yet, I find that the scripture is filled with people who are protected by God. And there's one common thing that all these people have that are protected by God is a passion, if you will, a deep-hearted commitment for the things of the Lord. And, you know, God wants to protect you in every area of your life, your finances, your job, your business, your choices in life, your marriage, your children. Wouldn't it be great? God wants to meet every one of your needs and protect you. He doesn't want the world to fall on you. He wants to protect you in every area. And I see that over and over again in scripture, and there's something there, is that God was protecting a certain caliber of person who has a deep commitment to him. And I'll show you that in scripture tonight, and I'll prove it to you by the word of God. So the title of the message is wonderful. The title of the message is, I just saw the house up there. What's that all about, huh? And the title of the message is The Value of Protection. How many of you can say the truth tonight that you are literally desiring God to protect you at every turn of the road? If you've ever driven on the 10 freeway at rush hour, you're believing God for. Have you ever had somebody zip around you in one of those little Zippo cars, you know, that makes a lot of noise but doesn't go anywhere but cuts in and out of all of the stuff? It's like you want to reach out the window and grab them, pull them out of the car by their neck, but you remember that you're a Christian and you don't do that, and you pray for them and give them the one-way signal. It's Jesus. That's what it, and it's this finger. So you do those kind of things. But all of us in this room, if anybody said, I don't want protection, be foolish. I remember as a young boy, my brother was 4 years older than me. He beat me up all the time at home. But if anybody beat me up at school, he was there and protecting me. My father was a great protector of the family. When I got saved, I believed God would protect me, but I didn't see it so much, and that was what was so frustrating. I had to learn some principles that would activate God's protection on my behalf. It's literally right in the scripture. Does God protect? You bet. Do you want the protection? Yes. But here's the question. What are you willing to do for it? And that's where a lot of people miss this. You will find that God's protection is for those that are deeply committed to the things of the Lord. Those that just call themselves a Christian and live in the world, even though they call themselves a Christian. Can I just say this to you? I find very little protection on their lives because they're living their life according to themselves instead of according to the things of God. The other night, as I was going to bed, I was reading the book of Daniel. I mean, highly impressed with Daniel over the lifetime that I've read the book of Daniel. I think one of the great tragedies out of the text of Daniel is that we've made it into a children's story instead of realizing inside the book of Daniel for the first six chapters is an amazing testimony of a God who protects his people. And then also you'll find the second thing that you'll find in the first six chapters is not only a God who protects his people, but you'll find a people who are committed deeply to God. And it seems to flow together. The ones that are committed get God's response of protection. The ones that are lukewarm, that just call themselves Christians, you know, are not bad people, but they're not godly people. They're not doing godly things. They just live like a normal. There's very little protection, and they go through the same problems the world has. There's something you and I need to see in the first six chapters. I can't teach you the six chapters tonight, but I can teach you a little bit of the first chapter. I'd like to share it with you, if I may, a couple of verses by starting out and reading and explaining the verses to you. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. If you're desiring protection in all of your life, then let this message, protection on your job, protection in what you do, protection with your health, protection with your children, protection with your marriage, protection in decision, protection in economic, then I want you to listen to what you're going to hear tonight. I don't want you to spend time in concentration with me a little bit about this protection. It's vitally important that you see this, what God is trying to say in the scripture of Daniel. So if you'll go with me to the text of Daniel, let's take a look at it and let me explain what's taking place so that you can understand that this is not just a Sunday school teaching in our children's church, but this is a real in-depth understanding about the protection of God to those who are committed to God. Let me say it one more time. This is about the protection of God to those who are committed to God. And that's what God is showing us in these first six chapters. But I'm only going to look at a couple of verses tonight, and then we're going to look at what it's going to take to be in the operation and protection of God. First of all, let's understand something. In the year 605 BC, a ruling monarch by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, who was really not the king of Babylon, as a lot of people think. He was actually the son of the king of Babylon, had marched into Judah in Jerusalem and took it, besieged it, just took it captive. I mean, there was hundreds of thousands of people that were Jewish, if you will, their culture, that worshiped God in their culture, and yet an outside force comes in and literally destroys and takes captivity everybody. In the year 605 BC, while he was destroying and taking captivity, besieging, if you will, Jerusalem, you will find that his father back in Babylon died, bang. And they called for him to come home, and he does. And when he goes home, the funniest thing takes place. He says something because he's so wise, this man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. He's so wise, he makes a statement. And he says to his leadership, I want you to find 75 really smart young people. I'm talking about the ones who can learn, the ones that are wise, the ones who can grow, that serve in the presence of the king of Babylon. I want you to take these 75 young men. I don't want you to bring anybody else out of Judah and out of Jerusalem back to Babylon until we have trained these 75 men so that when we bring the next group along, that they will be trained and spoken to in our language, our culture, and can train the hundreds and then the thousands of people. And so this is the first, if you will, deportation in the year 605 BC of 75 men. In those 75 men, there were four men, actually 74 to 75 men. There were four men that rose up and were completely unique from all the rest. You know them as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these four men were outstanding in their commitment to God and changed the entire, if you will, culture of Babylon itself with just these four guys. Why? And they brought tremendous commitment from God for protection. Every single chapter, they are being protected by God in supernatural ways that go right along with their supernatural commitment to God. And so here we find something taking place, if I can read it to you, that I found very fascinating, starting with verse number one. In the third year of the reign of Jeroboam, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And that started to get me to think right there. Here's this outside king that has no God, coming into the land of God's people, the apple of his eye, coming in and beseeches the land. And I thought that was fascinating, but verse 2 even made it more fascinating. It came along and says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. And you'll find throughout the entire Old Testament where literally God protects his people. God fights for his people. God's out in front of the armies for his people. God is doing great, mighty, marvelous things throughout the whole Old Testament. But here you see a completely opposite thing taking place. Here you see the enemy overcoming those that are God's people. Let's talk about that for just a moment, because we're talking about protection. And here you see that these people are not protected at all. Did they worship God? Yes. Did they know who God was? Yes. Did they tell the stories of the Egyptian captivity and what God did for Moses? And all? Yes. Did what was it that they not do? I mean, it would seem that they're the apple of God's eyes. They went through the rituals like all the other Jews that were in that area. They went through all of that. But one of the things that you'll find for hundreds and hundreds of years is they compromised their relationship with God. God says numerous times, these people are people with their lips worship me, but their heart is far from me. In other words, they're so involved in ritual, they're so involved in just doing the system that they missed God completely. And they thought they were safe with God, they thought they were doing the right thing with God and just doing stuff instead of doing what God would have them to do. Their mouth was right, but their heart was wrong. I stopped and I thought about it. Over the years, I have seen exactly the same thing in American churches all over this nation. People who go to church and one day they pray on God and pray with and for God on a Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, they pray on people. You'll find that people who are out there that are not committed at all, but they'll go to church out of routine all the time. They have the ritual operating in their lives. And maybe some of you that are in here tonight, you have this shallow relationship with God. You would love to have God protect you in every area of your life. But may I say this to you? Just like these people, they were not allowed to have the protection that they needed in the relationship they had. And sometimes we need to stop, check ourselves, and get ourselves where God wants us to be, not where we want God to be. Is anybody listening? And sometimes we miss this all. In fact, I think for a majority of people in American churches, we find that it's just that way. We find that there are people that are in church, but they're far from church. They're in the house of God, but they never really do what they're supposed to do in the house of God. They don't live their life according to what God would have them to live. They live their life and hope God gets along with what they're doing, instead of trying to find out what God wants for them and live the way God wants them to live. They want God to get on their side and live their way and have God get involved with them. The truth is that God loves us, wants to get involved with us. There's no doubt about that, but he wants to get involved with us, and we need to live his way. He doesn't need to learn how to live our way. Is anybody listening? I'm telling you, this is so true. So here we see something right off the bat with a book of Daniel that's just absolutely shocking. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. And then it goes on and says all about the articles, and we'll talk about that later on, about the things that were taken out of the temple. And a lot of people zero in on that instead of missing those simple words. Here is a group of people that were called God's people, apple of God's eyes, and they were not protected. And they were not protected because of their lousy relationship that had been compromised with God. Simple as that. And out of that springs 70 to 75 or four of these young men that are taken into captivity. And these miracles after miracles take place for these next six chapters that are amazing. And these six chapters bring us to a face of realizing, or a place of realizing, that we have got to be people of a deep commitment with God in everything that we do. We can't just come along and say we're Christians. It's got to be I'm a Christian and I back it with my life. James says it like this: I'll show you my faith by what I do, my works. It's not about works, it's about a heart. And an interesting thing that made Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego different than all the rest of them, because something takes place, and I just wanted to show it to you in verse number 8. I'll have them pop it up. Here's Daniel, he's being confronted. He's being enticed away. He's actually being, if you will, trapped away. But in verse number 8, here's the heart that's exposed right off the bat about Daniel. This is what makes him different than the rest of the people, all the rest of them. Can you imagine that? The whole society is failing. But here's a guy that stands out with promise. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not be defiled. Daniel purposed in his heart. It doesn't say Daniel figured out his best way of doing things in his mind. Daniel had a commitment, a purpose in his heart not to be defiled in his relationship with God. He wasn't going to let the world come in. Now, here's where the church makes a mistake. We let the world come in and change us. They influence politically. They influence economically. They influence educationally. They influence according to numbers. But guess what? It's a very different person is somebody who purposes in his heart to stay with God. And that's what made him so amazingly outstanding in these next six chapters. That's phenomenal. Let me just share with you, if I may, what this looks like. Very important for us to see this. So let's just take a look at it. In fact, I'm going to take you to Psalms of Moses. Moses was one, listen to me now, who was protected massively by God. You talk about protection. Well, Moses knew about what it's going to take to be protected. Moses understood what it's going to take to be protected. And here's what I'm trying to say tonight. For all of us, we need to understand before we leave this place, what's it going to take for to have God's protection in our life? And so we see this and see this in Psalms 91. Go there with me really quick. Let's take a look at it. Psalms 91. And as Moses writes this, and it's brilliant, he really speaks this out of the abundance of his heart by the Holy Spirit. But he says this to you and he says this to me. He starts out in some verses saying about himself, and then he turns it around to you and I. which is really fascinating. He does that a number of times in Psalms 91. He starts out saying, this is the way it was with me, but for you. And it's like, wow, he didn't just talk about himself. He's now including me in on that. And I found that very, very exciting. Psalms 91. I love these words. Listen to what it says. He who dwells. He. Do you understand what he just said there? Yeah. He, meaning you. It's for anybody. It's for all of us that will do something. The he who means anybody in this room can make the choice that he's talking about. And it's this kind of a choice that has to be made in order to find the protection that you're looking for in life. He who dwells, not just occasionally attends. You know, there's a difference between me visiting some establishment and some place I call home. Is that true? You know, when I dwell somewhere, that's my home. That's my comfort. That's my place of peace. That's where I'm at. But there's all kinds of other places I go during the day. I visit all kinds of different places. But here, he who dwells. And I love these words, secret place. You know, I asked God about that when I was just meditating it years ago. And I said, God, what's a secret place? A secret place is something that isn't spoken of by the majority. It's something that is between you and me. It's that place. I dwell in the place where I meet up with God, not the whole world. Is that not true? I meet up with God. There's a place in my life where I meet up with God, not the whole world. And it's a secret place. It's my place. It's Moses' place. It was Daniel's place to be with God. But he who dwells there in this secret place, what is it called? Of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And he just described you and I in protection. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to read you verse number 2. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Verse 3, he changes from himself now to you and I. Verse 3, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. So here he comes along and says he will deliver you, protect you. Now, behind me is this house. Let's take a look at it. Let's get the words off and let's take a look at the house. Sorry, I'm standing in the middle of the house on the side. Let me see if I can move to the side a little bit over here and get out of the picture a little bit. This is go to the house. And here we go to the house. Television people, go to the house, please. Let's get, that's better. Notice what we have is we have this house and we have Mr. Christian on the left side and then we have a lion on the right side. And here's this house. I call it the house of God, wherever that secret place is for you. For me, a lot of times it's church. For me, it's just spending time with God alone. Wherever that secret place is, here is where I find it's the house of God. And I noticed that there's a lion, and I'm just kind of chilling on that other side, let's say, or some of you are. And the lion, man, I don't want to have problems. And so I need protection. Out there, I'm not protected. So I have to get inside the house. In the house, I find that everything in the world could happen. All the storms of life, the rain can fall, thunder, wind can blow. All the storms of life that we deal with every day, that you deal with, that I deal with every single day. As long as I'm covered by that house, I am in the house. The storms will blow over and I'm safe. because now I'm in my secret place. Is anybody listening? Now watch this. Here's what we do. Don't ask me why, but we Americans are independent. And here's what we do. We say, I'm bored. I think I could go out and be okay. I think I could dabble in this and dabble in that. And before I find myself not too long, I'm out of the house. And when I'm out of the house, my goodness sakes alive, I think it's cool. See, I wasn't in that secret place. I got by, I'm okay. But then I realize, oh my goodness, that lion, he's still around here somewhere. And we get it every time. And that's what he's talking about for everybody in this place. You make the choice yourself whether you're getting devoured or not getting devoured. When you take your eyes off the enemy will come and get you. And that's why when you're in the house, I don't give a flip what the enemy does. But when I'm out alone, I'm in trouble. Now I'm going to show you this little video. It's kind of a, before they play the video, let me just set you up for it. It's a little boy. And he's at a zoo. And he's looking at the lion. And he thinks the lion's very cute, just like you and I. And then he turns his back on the lion. And I want you to see, like Christians, we turn our back on God and we start getting our eyes off of the things of God and we get devoured. Watch how fast this takes place. Is that unreal? And see, we're just the same way. We're called by God to stay in the house, to stay in God's plan, not our plan, to make a commitment to God, to purpose like Daniel in our hearts. I'm just going to close with this one verse real quick in Psalms 91. I hope you guys can follow it with me. Verse number 14. Let's go there. Let's don't do that. Let's do verse number 4. He says, he shall cover you with his feathers. Someone tried to draw a picture of God with big feathers and wings. And I'm not sure God doesn't have big feathers and wings. I don't know. But when I talked to God, it was like this. The world wants to trouble you, put pressure on you. But I want to handle your life softly like a feather. And he came along and he makes this statement. And under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. His truth, not my truth, not the world's truth, not what the religious people in Jerusalem who had God looking after them, who had shown himself with a great track record. Listen to this, it wasn't that at all. It was they lost, even though they had God, because they were far from God. They missed out. His truth was not as important as their truth. And so they lived their life their way instead of living their life God's way. And that's the difference of Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, is they live life God's way. Now watch this just for fun. Verse number 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. You need to understand what the verse says. Now watch the verse. Because he has set his love upon me. Notice the capital M in the word me. That's God. Because the most important thing is the love of God you have for God. It's what drives you. Now watch this. Because you Set your love upon God. Therefore, God is saying, I will deliver him and I will set him on high because he has known my name. My dear friends, how simple is it for us to think we're doing what God would have us to do when in fact we have completely missed God because what we're doing, we're not doing out of the heart of purpose and love for him. We're doing it because it feels good to us. Tonight, I just want to make sure all of you realize how important it is to give God everything.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.